Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is wonderful for us all to have the ability to be gathered together today to receive from the Lord's hand His merciful gifts for us. Now, we do have a couple of announcements as we begin our service today. A reminder that Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. We will have a worship service here at 9:30 in the morning. And we are collecting non-perishable food items for the Watsika, Milford, and Cisna Park food pantries. So be reminded and be aware of that. Other announcements then, there is a basket available in the entryway but for on all days between today and next Sunday for a 2023 thank offering for the support of our seminarian that the WMF is supporting right now. That seminarian is Mr. Isaac Olson, and the WMF has committed to supporting him. So that is happening as well. Ladies, reminder that December 3rd at 2 p.m., Wendy Sue Pflug will be presenting Reflections of Mary with music and monologue. If you wish to attend, let Nola know. Technically, she has her deadline there for, what is that, Tuesday? Wednesday. But I'm sure if you decide later to go talk to her, she's a very merciful lady, I think. Other announcements then. I received a message from Stephen Frericks yesterday that his mother, Sandra Morgan, is home and recovering. So we are able to praise God for that blessing there. Otherwise, we also then have one more announcement that I want to bring up, and that is on the podium in the back. There is a sign-up sheet where I would invite if anyone in the congregation wishes to join our confirmation students for a meal on Wednesday nights. There is a sign-up sheet where you can provide a meal and join them for a meal, get to know them a little bit. It is a wonderful opportunity to help bless our confirmation students. Finally, then, an announcement that comes with a bit of sadness. We want to be in prayer for Dan, Kelly, Ava, and Braxton Grabo, as Dan's father, John, has passed away. Passed away suddenly on November 12th, and the funeral was yesterday. So we can be in prayer for them and give them our deepest sympathies as we see them. Are there any other announcements that I need to be aware of today? If not, then let us open this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Would you please read together with me, responsively, Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12 as our call to worship. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you have formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh.
The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their hands are full of trouble. They are soon gone and fly away.
who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you. Amen. So music today will be slightly different. We do not have a piano, organ, or worship leader today. So we are going to be singing a cappella. What that means is no music. I will begin the songs and then let Tracy mute me as he normally does. And we will sing together. It is honestly a lot more fun than you think it is because we get to hear the congregation singing together. So I invite you now to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 507 as we sing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, number 507. My
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I care what doubts the storm has bring, but only on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
All sounded absolutely wonderful. This is going to be a good service. At this time, then, let us bow before the Lord and confess our sins to Him. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to Your infinite mercy and ask You for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You and of Your will and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing together. O God. And hear the word of the Lord, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed your transgressions. Take joy and comfort then in the knowledge that your sins are forgiven. Amen. I will now invite you to stand as you are able out of respect for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is from Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 7 through 16. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gates, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traders are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, O Lord, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries out loud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of triumphant blast, trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. The epistle today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God is not destined for us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. These are the words of the Lord.
And our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So he who had had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here ends the reading of God's word, and let us sing together. Now we have the opportunity to confess with the church of all times and in all places our holy Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory. You may be seated. Our hymn before our offering today is hymn number 173, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 173. At this time, I will invite our ushers forward to receive our morning offering. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking that your grace and your mercy would so work in our lives that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who are suffering in our congregation today. We think of those who are shut in, unable to leave their house, unable to make it to worship with us in person. And we ask that you would be with Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. Lord, for those who are in need of healing, for those who are harmed, for those who are in desperate need of you to come to them and to help them recover, we ask that you would be with today Gordon, Zach, Linda, Tim, Norm, DJ, Grayson, Danielle, Robert, Sandra, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, Dwayne, and Leslie. Lord, for those who have recently lost a loved one and are working on how to make it through that time, we ask that you would be with them. We think today especially of Dan, Kelly, Ava, and Braxton at the loss of John. Lord, for those who are children in our congregation, we praise you that they have the opportunity to worship alongside us, to pray alongside us. And we ask that each of these children would be continuing to grow up in the faith and knowledge of you. We think today of Willa, Charlie, Claire, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, Joanna, Ava, and Braxton. Lord, for those men on our church council, we ask that you would be with them. We ask that you would be giving them guidance and wisdom, including Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart. Lord, we pray for this Thanksgiving weekend that all those who are traveling would have a safe opportunity to make it to where they're going, and that ultimately as we look to that time of giving thanks that we would be thanking you, And that we would recognize that all the good gifts we receive are from you. Lord, we pray for our nation and our government and world leaders and all those who have authority, asking that they would rule and reign with honor. We pray for those who are in the military and their families, that you would be providing them safety and peace. And we pray for the farmers as they finish up in their fields, that they would have good weather and safety. Lord, for these and all other things, we ask that you would be in control, that we would look to you for all of our prayers, praises, that we would come to you, and that we would receive from your hand your many gifts and mercies and blessings through your word. In your name we pray, amen. That's right. Okay, at this time, we will let us stand together as you are able as we sing a bit of a shorter hymn today, but let us sing number 369, Jesus Loves Me. Our sermon text for today. Oh, hey, you did get the right one. I did not actually tell them what I was preaching on today. So I am preaching on Matthew 25 verses... Sorry, words are hard. I am preaching on Matthew 25 verses 14 through 30. I'm going to read it once more in Jesus' name. Please remain standing as you are able. Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents and to another 2 and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, these are your words, and your word is truth. Sanctify us today in that truth. Convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary. Comfort and encourage us with the promises of your gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we continue at this time our sermons that speak on the last days. We continue at this time reading from Jesus about it, according to verse 14. And it doesn't give us much to work on, does it? No, instead, to understand what it means, it requires us to go and read the surrounding context. In this case, verse 14 is referring to what Christ himself spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. The coming of the Son of Man, the return of Christ, and the unknowability of that time. In our epistle text today from Thessalonians, Paul reiterated this point, saying, "You yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." This day of the Lord, this second coming of Christ, whatever you want to refer to it as, this is what Jesus is referring to in this parable. The judgment of God is how I have chosen to form it in our passage today. So what is the judgment of God to be like? Well, Jesus said it is like a man who went on a journey. This journey had no set end date. But while he was gone, he called forth his 3 most trusted servants. To one, he gives them 5 talents. Remembering that a talent is a very, very hefty sum of money. And so when he gives them this very, very hefty sum of money, he expects them to do something with it while he is gone. So to one of them he gives 5 talents. To one of them he gives 2 talents. And to one of them he gives 1 talent. And the next phrase is very, very important for you to understand. Each one of them was given according to his ability. What that means is that this master, merciful and kind as he was, did not give them an impossible task. He did not give them something that they were unable to do. Rather, he knew the gifts and talents, the gifts and abilities that each one of his servants had. And he gave to them the monies, the talents, accordingly. And then the master left. Gone. He's not there. So then these 3 servants, they're thinking, okay, what am I going to do with this money? How am I going to give it back to my master? So the first servant, let's say he was a very, very, very gifted person. So he goes, he takes those 5 talents, And over the course of the master being gone, he makes five more. He doubles his master's money. Not only that, but he earns a very, very, very great sum of money. So then the second servant, over the course of his time where his master was gone, goes forth, takes his two talents, and again, he doubles it. He makes two talents more. And then that last servant, what should he have done according to his abilities is he should have gone out and made a talent. That was his ability. Each servant had the ability to take what was given to them and to add to it. So what should this third servant have done? But at the time the master was gone, he should have gone out. He should have traded. He should have invested. He should have done something so that he would have one talent more to present to his master as befits his abilities. Because remember, this third servant was not any less abled than his fellow servants. No, in fact, his master chose him because of his abilities. And instead, this third servant takes his master's talent, digs a hole in the ground, shoves it in there, covers it up, and says, "I think I'm good." So why is that portrayed as something awful? It's a valid question, isn't it? The master of the house comes home after a long, long journey. And all it says is a long time. And the first servant comes forward saying, "Here's the five you gave me. Oh, by the way, here's five more." The second servant comes up and says, "Here's the five you gave, or here's the two you gave me. By the way, here's two more." And then the third servant comes up, brushing the dirt away, and says, "Here's your talent. Okay, see you later. Thank you for the pity laugh, Eloise." The servant goes to his master and says, "I know you, master. I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. And because of that, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, so that when you return here, you get to have what is yours." And you could insert the words "and nothing more." This servant not only didn't do what was given his abilities, not only did he not do what his master expected, but then he has the nerve to go and insult the guy who gave him the money in the first place. Right? "You are a hard man. I know that you know what you're doing. And so because of that, I'm to give you nothing." And let me tell you the truth about this parable, dear friends. The master in this parable would not have been as upset had the servant gone and tried and failed. No, the sin of this servant was the sin of inaction. Or, according to our 1 Thessalonians passage today, as being asleep. So how do you translate this passage? How do you understand it in the realms of the Christian church? Well, let's start back over, shall we? There was a man going on a journey. The man's journey happened to be one where he ascended into heaven. And this man made a promise that one day he would return. And in that return, he would judge both the living and the dead. You get in the picture now. This man calls together his servants. These servants have been learning underneath the master. These servants have heard everything that the master has taught them. These servants have become part of the master's family. In fact, these servants are called brothers and sisters of this master, children of his father. And these servants have been given various talents according to their abilities. Now, I'm not saying that God has entrusted you with physical money, but what I'm saying is that God has entrusted you with abilities. God has entrusted you with people. God has entrusted you with property. God has entrusted you with every other thing that you have been given. And on each one of those things, God has given it to you based off of your abilities. Your family, your land, your home. Yes, even any finances you have, but that's not the crux of the passage. Those abilities he's given you, wisdom, knowledge, these things have been given to you by God with the expectation, the master gives you these things with the expectation that you will use them to further the master's kingdom. Because if you think about what these servants were to do with the talents, they were making their master's house more wealthy, more plentiful, and larger. So also, the talents which God has given to each and every one of you are for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to further his kingdom based on the abilities that he has given to you. So what does that mean, based on the abilities? That means that God has not given me talents in order that I can go be a quantum physicist. God has not given you talents to go and show the world. God has not given you the talents to go and preach in a pulpit full time when he made you absolutely terrified of standing in front of people. No, instead, realize here that the abilities that God has given to you, the finances, the property, the family, has been based off of what he has given to you. Your abilities are based off your abilities. That sounds kind of funny, but I wrote it down anyways. Right? And so God has given to you gifts and talents, abilities and land and property and family based off of His good gifting to you and the abilities He has given to you. And then He leaves you with only one guarantee, that at some point, some way, He's going to come back. And you don't know when that is. You're not supposed to know when that is. But Paul says it will come like a thief in the night. While those are people are saying peace and security, suddenly it comes upon like labor pains for a pregnant woman. And any ladies here who have been pregnant know how much that comes suddenly. And most husbands know how terrified they are when that does happen. So what we have here is we have Jesus giving this parable. And we have the reality that we are those servants. That Christ Himself is that Master who went away, who gave us these things, and who said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age, in Matthew 28. And when He gave us that promise, that command, that call, He left. He went up to heaven with a promise that one day He would return. And over the course of our life, we have various opportunities and ways that we can use these talents, for a better word, in order to increase and glorify the kingdom of God. That we can use what God has given to us to go and proclaim the excellencies of God. And there are some who do really, really good with this. Right? You talk about the servant who was given five talents. You think of those guys who can go onto the streets and suddenly have everyone talking to them about Jesus. Guess what? You don't have to be that guy. You have others who are able to go and in their place of work, being a light to everyone whom they work with. That everyone knows that this guy is the guy to talk to if you have spiritual questions. You might not be that guy. Because maybe you have been given children where the only thing that you're able to do is to proclaim the gospel to your children. You know what? That's good. That is a faithful servant. Maybe you have been given one singular friend. And that one singular friend you've had the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to, whether or not it works. Well done, good and faithful servant. Maybe all you have is people you come across randomly where you can encourage them and nothing more. Maybe you are one of those people who what God has given you is little interactions day to day where you will never see somebody come to faith, where you will never see somebody repent of their sins, where all you can do is give little encouragements. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master. When Jesus returns, it's not going to matter how successful you are. It's not going to matter how many people you brought to the Lord. What's going to matter is that you show the world that by faith in Christ, you are able to do a little here, a little there, an encouragement, an exhortation, take your pick. Because who is this third servant? It's not any of those people I just talked about. No, this third servant is the man who has received from God gifts and talents, who proclaims that he is a Christian, thank you very much. But when it comes down to it, there is not an ounce of his life that will show you that he is a Christian. That there is not an ounce of his life that will be anything relating to the Word of God. I think in Sunday school today, the young adult class was studying 1 Thessalonians 5, our epistle lesson. And this person is whom Paul was referring to as those who were asleep. This person is that one who doesn't care about anything pertaining to the Word of God. And instead, they just go about living the way they want to, thinking how they want to, expecting that at the final judgment they'll be able to say, "No, look, I said your name once, I'm good to go." As a matter of fact, then, the Master's return shows something completely different about this third servant. The Master returns. Jesus returns. Someday, we're not sure when. It could be today. It could be 45 years from now. Could be another 150 years. Who knows? But one day, Jesus does return. And he comes before you, dear servant. And he sees all that you have done throughout your life, the good and the bad. And when he sees faith, all of a sudden, all that remains is the good. And he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Though you don't see the results of God's word living in your life, though you may never know the effect of the word of God in your heart, yet you are called a good and faithful servant. Enter into eternity with Christ." And then the third servant comes along. And this is the person that we weep for. This is the person that our hearts break for. Because this is the person who has complete and utter confidence in their title of Christian, not based off of faith in Christ, but based off of something that they have done, a confession that they made with a life that shows the complete opposite. Parents, sometimes that's your own child. And at that point, it becomes a very hard lesson to read. This third servant, you wicked and slothful servant, you were asleep on the things for God. And what he has, the confession that he made so long ago, is gone. Because his life is one of unbelief. And at the return of Jesus, he is cast out into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That outer darkness, a metaphor for hell. Because the third servant can be summed up very quickly and very simply. The third servant is an unbeliever. The third servant is one who has been given grace upon grace by God and who chooses instead to worship himself or his own idols. Whereas the first two servants, yes, they likely failed numerous times, were constantly pointed back to the word of God, that word of forgiveness, that word of peace. Dear Christian, sitting in the pews today, if at any time you find yourself as this third servant, that you find that there is just, you don't care, that all of a sudden those things of God are boring or unlikable to you, then your call here is to repent. Your call here is to go back to the Word of God. Your call here is to come to me. Hey, that's a good idea. And let me declare to you the forgiveness of sins again and again. Because when you sin, God will forgive you your sin. But one of the frequent dangers that Scripture brings up is a life of open, unrepentant sin. It doesn't lead to God turning his back on you, but instead it leads you to hardening your heart, as Pharaoh did back in the book of Exodus, and as Judas did when he was among Jesus. The sin of unbelief is not an unforgivable sin, but instead the sin of unbelief, when not confronted by the Word of God, will continue to evolve into more and more and more and more sin. And that was this third servant. And so live your life as a life of daily repentance, turning back to God's word in full knowledge that he forgives your sin. And let him forgive your sin over and over and over again, if that's what it takes. For you to be aware of this fact. And those of you who have been Christians longer than I've been alive, and I know there's quite a few of you in this room, this applies to you also. Because even you need to hear again and again and again the forgiveness of your sin. One day Jesus will return. And to those who have faith in God, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. But to the unbeliever, the promise is a promise of judgment and pain. So continue daily to repent and to hear God's word declare to you the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. And now, having just talked for 20 minutes, we're going to sing another song. Let us turn to our hymnals, to hymn number 578. I will invite you to stand as you are able for the remainder of our service. Let us sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. At this time, would you pray with me now the prayer that our Lord has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 607, Be Thou My Vision. Let us sing together, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.